How quickly the weeks fly by. Margaret Mills is back with us again this week. And the last couple of weeks, she's been dealing with some rather deathly subjects. But this week, I believe you're turning your attention to the Earl of Derwentwater.
Yes, indeed. The Earl of Derwentwater has, well, an Essex connection. Again, it's rather a sad story, but it's an interesting story for anyone who's ever visited Ingatestone Hall. And as part of the tour, you will have gone to the gallery on the first floor, where a number of objects connected with the family are on exhibition. One of them is pretty gruesome because it's a blood-stained coat dating from the 1700s. Now, this blood-stained coat is the actual coat that was worn by the Earl of Derwentwater when he met his fate at execution.
Oh, crikey, he was executed.
He was executed. Now, what's his Essex connection? Well, his daughter, a lady called Anna Maria, was married to the 8th Lord Peter of Ingatestone Hall. The Earl of Derwentwater attracted very strong feelings in England at that time. He was a staunch Catholic, like the Peters in Ingatestone Hall. It was 1715. George I had come to the throne only a year before. George I was a Protestant monarch and very keen to set an example for keeping Catholics well and truly in their place. The Earl of Derwentwater was suspected of plotting against the king to restore a Catholic monarch to the throne, and therefore he was put on trial for treason. He was convicted, and in 1715, he met his fate. He was executed. Now, the Earl of Derwentwater's body was given back to the family for burial, and it was decided not to bury him at Ingatestone Hall, where his daughter, or at Ingatestone in the church, where his daughter was married to the 8th Lord Peter, but to take him back to his family estate, which was in Durham. And so the body proceeded northwards to Durham. And it said when the funeral cortege, the funeral procession, got in sight of Durham, the sky was suddenly lit by an amazing selection of different coloured lights. Not just the northern lights, far brighter, far more elaborate. And people noticed and connected it with the burial of the Earl. And from then on, the northern lights in the north of England were nicknamed Lord Derwentwater's lights.
Well, well, well. I never knew that. And how was it that his cloak that came back to Ingatestone?
Well, it said that his daughter kept the clothes that he had worn on the gallows. Now, that sounds quite macabre to us, but she wanted to keep his clothing, and she retained not only his coat, but if you go to Ingatestone Hall and you have a look in the exhibition gallery on the first floor, you'll also see the hat and the wig that he wore on the day of his execution. And the way it's set up on a dummy. So it's rather macabre because it almost looks as though you're looking at a human figure.
Crikey. Okay. Thank you very much indeed for that.
Thanks, Scott.
And you sort of had a run of sort of rather deathly items. So what have you got coming up for next week?
Well, I don't like to tell you, really. It's the ghostly or suicide pool in Epping Forest.
Oh, goodness me. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Scott.